For those of you who are regular here and who very carefully read the monthly bulletin, you would have seen that it should have been Jeff King, one of our former members, who was going to be speaking this morning. But unfortunately, I had an email from him at the beginning of the week to say that both he and his wife had gone down with COVID, so he's unable to be here. So I'm afraid you've got me again. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on Psalm 121, which is one of the songs of ascent. Both songs of ascent are found within the book of the Psalms, which is Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And again, they vary in length, but they have different emotions expressed. There's calling out in distress. There's praising God. And the one that we're looking at this morning, that Ali has just read, Psalm 126, the word that jumps out at you is the word joy. There's only six verses in this psalm, but the word joy appears four times. The pilgrims, in the verse 1 it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, they were like men who dreamed. So what had been going on? What had happened? Well, the history behind that first line was that the Israelites, because of their disobedience and idolatry, had been taken into captivity by Babylon 70 years prior. But God had spoken through his prophets, and he'd said to them, there would be a time of exile. But that time of exile would be eventually overcome, and that they would return back, that they would return to Jerusalem, or as it says here, to Zion. They would return to their homeland. And many of those who returned in that first wave, because there was a subsequent wave, as we'll see later on, would have been born in Babylon. They would have known nothing else but slavery and captivity. And now they're free. Now they've been released from their captivity. So it's little wonder, they were saying, it was like a dream. We were like men who dreamed. Their fortunes were being restored. Where there had been despair and poverty, there is now hope for the future and blessing. They're seeing God blessing them already. So it's like they're having to pinch themselves to say, is this really happening? You know, we've been freed. And as I said, it's what God had promised. They couldn't believe it. And yet they should have, because God is always faithful to his promises. He is always, if he makes a promise, at one time or another, that promise will be fulfilled. And so the emotion of amazement gives way to songs of joy and laughter, as it says in verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. And Ali highlighted the Olympics, and it was the same there. We saw how often those who won medals, the first reaction was amazement. Have I actually won this race? Have I thrown this javelin further than anyone else? Have I paddled this canoe quicker than anyone else? And there were so many. Have I climbed this wall quicker than anyone else? Quite amazing that a 19-year-old came back with a gold medal. But that was the expression you saw on their faces. There was one of amazement and at times disbelief that they'd actually won or at least got a medal. But then that gave way to joy and laughter. And that was seen when so many of them received their medals. Their faces were just beaming. And especially sometimes as they were singing the national anthems of their country. And I think the four that reminded me of that, that just beamed, were the four girls that won one of the rowing races. And they just beamed the whole time that they were receiving their medals and singing the national anthem. Although at one time, I think one of them did say Queen instead of King. But nevertheless, they had that joy. And so no doubt, these pilgrims, as they travel now, they're able to reflect on the fact that God had brought them back, and now they are able to be free to come up to Jerusalem and worship God in the temple and bring him the fruits of their labours, to bring their praise, to bring the songs of joy. And so they were coming to worship God, the true God, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and of Moses, those patriarchs of the Israelites. So no wonder that they were filled with joy. And in some ways, Isaiah chapter 35, I just want to read a few verses from Isaiah 35, and you'll see from verse 8. And a highway will be there, and it will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go in it. No lion will be there, nor any ferocious beast to get up on it. And they will not be found. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And that is reflected in that chorus. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord will return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy will be on their heads. I won't inflict you by singing it. I'll just read the word. And so we should have that joy. The joy of knowing Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. Because we too were once held in captivity by sin. We were exiled, we were far away from God, just as those Israelites were for those 70 years they spent in Babylon. But then God moved, God broke through, and Jesus came, and he is the one that is the way to salvation. And he is the one that brings us from that kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. Even though I've been a Christian for many years now, I won't say how many, but it's over 40, let me put it that way. There are times when I still can't believe that God chose to move in my life and call me one of his children. It causes me to rejoice. And I hope that's the situation that if you know and love Jesus, that every so often it just hits you just how much God has done for you, just how much Jesus loves you, just how much he is joyous over you. I read somewhere recently that the word joy could sometimes be described as a sacred delight. Sacred because it belongs to God, and delight because it brings hope. And so we find that we are numbered among the redeemed, as that chorus says and as that reading says. And that is echoed in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that just wonderful to know? that God, when he spoke into our lives and we became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought us out of that kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. His glorious light. And that should cause us to rejoice. And we see that that rejoicing that these pilgrims have, and that we should have, had an effect on other people. In the second part of verse 2, it says, "Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." Other people, the other nations around, the Israelites saw that God had worked a mighty miracle by bringing them back from captivity and back to their homeland. And they realized that it was all God's work. And they gave God the acknowledgement that was due to him. And that, God willing, should be true of us. That others should see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. That others will say, "Why do you act like that? Why do you go to church as often as you do? Why do you read your Bible?" And that's an opportunity for us to share something of the good news of Jesus with them. But then, from verses 3 and 4, there's a change. Verses 1 and 2 talked about what God had done. Verses 3 and 4 talk about what he is doing. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev." They are filled with joy. So it's an ongoing process. It wasn't something they just did once. It's something that they had in their minds continually. And they cry out, "Restore our fortunes," because they knew that there were still fellow Israelites back in Babylon that were still being held captive, and they were crying out to God for them to be released as well. And that's perhaps true for us when we've got friends and family members that don't know Jesus, and we cry out to God to move in their lives, and that they too can be brought into the kingdom of God. It's talked about the streams watering the Negev. Negev was a desert area, but every so often when the rain came and to the mountains surrounding it, then the water would flood down and bring new life to what seemed dead. I'm sure many of us will have seen those time-lapse photographs in nature programs, where what seemed to be a desert, what seemed to be just a dry riverbed, suddenly is filled with water, and the area around becomes green and fertile and blooms with flowers. What appeared to be lifeless is now full of life. And that's what these pilgrims were experiencing, and that's what we should experience as well. That they were crying out for a new refreshing and a restoring. We need to have our lives continually refreshed by the Holy Spirit. That's not just a one-off event. We need the water of the Holy Spirit to touch our lives every single day. And Jesus talks about that in John's Gospel. He's gone up to worship at one of the feasts. John 7, verse 37 says this: "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But he has been glorified. He has gone back to be with his Father. And so the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, and he's still working today. Men and women, boys and girls throughout the world are still turning to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that gives people that eternal joy. That brings refreshing to their lives. And that is something that we should be able to rejoice about as well. And then we move on to verses 5 and 6. And we see that again the tense changes. It says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Speaking of God's faithfulness. Faithfulness through times of difficulty, through times of trial. A well-known verse from Lamentations chapter 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And that's sometimes what we find so difficult to do, to wait. But these last two verses show us that, yes, we can have joy. But sometimes before the joy, we've had to go through times of difficulty and testing and tribulation. Time and again, the Bible makes it clear that when we become Christians, everything in the garden is suddenly not rosy. That everything will be wonderful from now on. There'll be no problems. But that's not what this word says. That's not what the Bible says. And we read that in so many. I'll just read from Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. And then just a couple of verses later it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul, when he's writing to the Philippians, writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God that transcends all our understanding, will guard and guide your minds in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful to know that even when we're going through those times of trial, those times of difficulty, we can trust in God. We can believe in what he says in his word. We can believe in the promises that he has made to us. And we can see that reflected in these last verses of this psalm. Those who sow in tears, so there will be tears, will reap the songs of joy. So the tears of our trouble, of our difficulties, of our hardship, are like rain falling on the ground and touching the seed in our hearts and causing it to grow and to flourish and to give us that sense of God's presence and God's joy. And that again is emphasized in the last verse. Those who go out with weeping will carrying seeds to sow, so that as the farmer goes out to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Those of you who know me know that I quite like numbers. And in one of the concordances that I have, the word joy or rejoice is found over 60 times in the Psalms alone. And similarly, in Paul's letters, the word joy or rejoice is found over 30 times. So it's not something that is to be disregarded. It's something that Scripture tells us that we should have in our lives, that we should have the joy of the Lord evident in our lives. You know, some people might say, oh, I've got a deep joy in my heart. Well, that's fine, but we've got to make sure it's not so deep that people can't see it. We've got to show the love and the joy of the Lord in our lives. It closes with, they will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. It was an old chorus that some may know, called Bringing in the Sheaves. And I just want to read the words of this to you, because it is reflected in this psalm. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Second verse. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilly breeze. By and by the harvest and the labour ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained our spirits often grieves, when the weeping's over, he shall bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So these pilgrims, as they made their way up to Jerusalem, with their songs of joy on their lips and in their hearts, were fully aware that it was all of God's work. It was nothing that they had done. It was God who had brought them back to the promised land. And it was God's love and goodness that they were experiencing as he blessed them again. And they were seeking God to continually be with them and have that hope for the future, that God would do amazing things in their midst. And the times of sorrow would be turned into times of rejoicing. And I believe that that's what God wants us to claim this morning. To remember with joy how the Lord brought each one of us who know him and love him from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. To claim it for today. Because God still wants us, as it said, to work for him, to bring in the sheaves for him, to labour for him, to have him work in your life so that you can witness to him and for him. And to claim that joy for the future, because that promise of eternal life in Christ for all eternity is there before us. And that should fill our hearts with overflowing joy and thankfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just come and we stand amazed. We stand amazed in your presence that you should choose to love us and to bless us in so many ways, and to provide for us. And we pray, Father, that even today you would move, that you would move afresh in our lives, or perhaps move in our lives for the first time, and bring a sense of your power and your presence, of who Jesus is, that he is the Lord, that he is the Master, that he is the Saviour, and so much more. That he is the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we come rejoicing before him. in his precious and holy name. Amen.